May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When I attended the General Theological Seminary from 1982 to 1985, we lived across the street in an apartment building of married student housing from what is called there the Close. It is called the Close because of the large iron gate and brick walls that surround the seminary campus between 20th and 21st Streets off of 9th Avenue. It literally gives the seminary a monastic feeling. That's changed a bit since that time because of financial issues and the rising cost of real estate in Chelsea, which has now become a very in place to live, especially if you're a celebrity. It wasn't back in those days. They sold that building to meet some of their financial challenges. But if you've ever been there to General's campus between 9th and 10th Avenues, close to the Hudson River, which interestingly enough was the family estate of Clement Clark Moore, the summer estate, if you can imagine, between 9th and 10th Avenue and 20th and 21st. And if you want to know a little bit of trivia, Clement Clark Moore, what he's known for most of all is he wrote "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." And every year, the dean of the seminary reads that to the children the week before Christmas. Another way you may know this place, if you've never been there, is if you are a fan of Law and Order. Bump, bump. Sam Waterston is an Episcopalian and a strong supporter of the seminary. And another way that the seminary raised funds was they allowed the Law and Order people to come in and film there often. They filmed college scenes there. They filmed religious order scenes there. Anything that had to do because of this beautiful park-like setting. Our apartment was extremely tiny, but it was beautiful. An apartment that today in New York City would probably rent somewhere in the neighborhood of $4,000 a month. For us it was $600 a month back then, which was a lot of money for us. And the apartment was small, but it had a view of the Close, this park-like setting, and it had a view of the Empire State Building off in the distance. And there was a gate, a big iron gate across the street. From today's gospel passage and the verses just before, Jesus said, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." The seminarians that lived outside of the Close, like me, had to daily go through that gate. That old iron gate had a lock for security, and we would swing it open and swing it closed as we entered, and it always made a clanking noise. 8 o'clock morning prayer, 10 minutes before morning prayer, the bells would ring in the chapel of the Good Shepherd, and you would hear this gate clanking and opening and clanking and opening as the students from married student housing would go through. Same for evensong at 5:30 every day, that gate. And as we went through that gate, there was no mistaking that we belonged. We were somehow special to that community. We had a key, to go through to General Seminary, this academic and spiritual Episcopal community. When we listen to this particular teaching of Jesus in today's gospel, particularly in that chapter from John's gospel, the good news, there are some that understand this as an exclusionary passage, that Jesus is talking about those who belong and those who do not. How do you come to that conclusion when you're carefully reading, digesting, and praying over the words and life of Christ in the entirety of the Gospels? Well, the answer, I believe, for some is that it is the natural human response of our ego, which all of us have, that sometimes draws us to need boundaries and separateness in order to feel superior. There's a false sense of security that draws many of this way of thinking and being. Unfortunately, many times in the church, that's caused many to have misinterpretations and misrepresentations of the life, teachings, death, and resurrection of the Lord. Eckhart Tolle writes in his wonderful work, A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, the following words. There is nothing that strengthens the ego more than being right. Being right is identification with a mental position, a perspective, an opinion, a judgment, a story. For you to be right, of course, you need someone else to be wrong. And so the ego loves to make wrong in order to be right. In other words, Tolle concludes, you need to make others wrong in order to get a stronger sense of who you are. And unfortunately, the gospel of Jesus Christ has over the centuries been used for just such purposes, to make others wrong. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Not at all. Jesus is not talking about keeping others out. He's not talking about keeping others excluded. He's not talking about others not being able to get through that same gate because, oh, they don't have the key that you might have. Rather, it's understanding of his truth that is a radical invitation to a new way of life. What infuriated so many of the Pharisees, the scribes, and of course the Romans, was that Jesus was referring to himself as the gate. Now, one of the wonderful things about living in Kentucky and living in Versailles, living in a farming community and owning a small farm, is having lots of gates. You learn about gates. And you learn about opening and closing gates. And when you have horses, you quickly learn how important it is to open and close that gate and to make sure that it's properly secured. I'll never forget the first time that I got our newest horse, which we now have almost the whole time we're living here, Spirit. Well, I was not, even though I had worked with horses for 15, 20 years, I had never seen a horse do a complete 360 standing on hind legs. As I brought Spirit into the pasture and Abby came at him, and I, feeling very confident in my horsemanship, left the gate open behind me. And I realized that Spirit had the ability on his hind legs to do a complete 360 turn and bolt. And it was an hour and a half, 2 hours later, that I finally got Spirit back in the rain, in my slippers and in my pajama bottoms. It was a lovely sight that I was hopeful no of the neighbors would see. We understand gates in Kentucky. But Jesus used gates also because the people of first century Palestine understood gates. Cities were gated. Cities had walls. Cities had that sense that General Seminary has of a monastic community. Being able to get through a gate was an important thing. When Jesus was crucified by Pontius Pilate, many were not allowed through a gate to be there to witness when he was on trial. The gate was closed off to a lot of people. It had infuriated them that Jesus referred to himself, not to what had represented the gate, but himself as the gate. And then he says something else that they knew so well. He said he was the shepherd of the sheep. Another term, another vocation that they would all know all too well. And he said, all of you that follow me, all of you are welcome to come with me through this gate. The gate is open to you. But there is a stipulation. You have to follow me. And to do this means you have to take on my nature. This is what St. Paul meant when he said that if anyone be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has died and the new has been born. So what is the nature of Jesus? Well, it's not exclusionary. It's one that invites everyone through the gate. It's one that was very human and very God, but it's one that says to be saved is to give up ego's ways, to find pasture in the teachings and ways of the kingdom of God. That is life itself. And the amazing thing is that it's open to each and every one of us, whether we're here for the first time, whether we come once a year, whether we come every Sunday, whether we're out on the streets and we finally come through. Jesus says, if you're willing to follow me, if you're willing to strive to take on my nature, just strive, because we all fall short, you can have life. You can have abundance. You will hear my voice and respond. It's the beautiful words that I conclude with today that constantly give me comfort. I'm going to be a bit of a traditionalist here because the 23rd Psalm, the one that I know memorized, is not the one that's now in the Episcopal Common Lectionary. It's probably the one that those of you that are older know as well, where we say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is God, this is Jesus's, the Good Shepherd's promise to you. Enter the gate. You are welcome. Amen.